Our next guest is here to share the wild and wonderful world of holiday meals from all over the world. Andrew Zimmern is a food writer, the host of Bizarre Foods on the Travel Channel, and he joins us this morning from Minneapolis. Welcome, Andrew.
Merry Christmas.
Now, you've logged many miles in search of all kinds of foods, but let's concentrate on Christmas foods, and you're going to give us a little preview of what some folks are eating all over the world. And why don't we start with, what are they eating in Africa today?
Well, you know, it's very interesting. One of the things that people fail to remember sometimes when it comes to certain holiday traditions is while there are wintertime holidays at this time of year celebrated all over the world, some continents and land masses have different sort of religious rituals celebrated at different times of the year. And quite frankly, it may not necessarily be Christmas. You know, I'm glad we're starting with Africa because some of the oddest things that I've ever heard of is the South African proclivity for sort of imitating the Australians and throwing something on the barbecue with a lot of roasted vegetables. It seems very straightforward until you realize that it's sort of like a steak and potatoes meal that they enjoy down there. What's happened also is that the American culture machine has sort of invaded elsewhere. So in the RSA, for example, they do the traditional turkey feast with all the trimmings as well. It's sort of a strange mix. You know, most of the places in Africa that I've traveled to have been tribal regions in East Africa. And there, they don't know Christmas from the 4th of July. But suffice to say, when the village gets together, it usually involves a roast goat and some lungfish.
Lungfish, huh?
Yeah. It's a horrific prehistoric animal that lives in the mud, and it eats its own tail in the dry season and makes a cocoon out of its own spittle to survive. And it lives in these sort of, you know, swampy areas that get wet and dry and wet and dry several times a year.
So there's not a lot of competition for the lungfish, right? You're always going to have plenty of them, right?
Actually, there is. I mean, you know, and it's so prized that whole tribes will go out and dive into the mud for them. I've been on a lungfish hunt, and let me tell you something, it's not pretty. It's not nearly as appealing to Westerners as, the holiday season in, you know, Scandinavia, for example. I mean, look, in Iceland, they'll eat the fermented ice shark and they'll do the smoke puffin and they'll do all that kind of stuff. You know, in Western Europe, they have a lot of their own sort of funky little trends. But once you get it up into the Scandinavian area of Europe, then you're really talking Christmas because these folks, they feel they own Christmas.
And so what's going to be on the table there?
I'll try and keep this somewhat cogent. You know, they love smorgasbord. You know, big meals are big. So whether it's Western Russia, which is sort of right below Scandinavia,
right,
or any of the Scandinavian countries, they'll do something. The Russians call it zakuski. The Scandinavians call it smorgasbord. And they'll have lots and lots and lots of food. And some of the things that are eaten, I mean, Sweden is kind of bizarre. I mean, they love to make these little ham and pancake balls that come right before traditional smorgasbord treats, a lot of pickled herring and smoked fish. And then they'll eat the main meal will be a pot of beans and a roast. And they do most of this on Christmas Eve. Most of it was last night. The Russians, of course, do a very similar thing, but they also have lots of, you know, caviar and smoked fish and blintzes and things like that. The Danes have this traditional rice porridge that they make that's sort of like a warm rice pudding, but they don't eat it for dessert. They eat it as a first course, then everyone has a big shellfish feast. Probably one of the more interesting things is up in Finland. I mean, the Finnish people think that Santa Claus lives in the northern part of Finland, which is just hysterical. I love that they have complete and total ownership of it. And everybody cleans their house and gets ready for the big three holy days of Christmas, which started last night, goes today, and then tomorrow,
right,
which they also call Boxing Day. And they usually start out the meal with the rice porridge and fruit, and they decorate a tree. And the Christmas Peace Declaration is broadcast on the television stations from the city of Turku by the mayor, who's kind of like the king of Christmas in that country. And the traditional Christmas dinner is a lot of casseroles with liver and rutabagas and other root vegetables. And they cook a ham and a turkey, and they have rossoli, which is, you know, the smoked herring salad and with lots of beets in it and stuff like that. But what's really hysterical is that, you know, the Laplanders up there love their Christmas. And they do an entirely crazy thing with lots of salads and peas and cold fish plates and spiced breads. They're really big. And they just keep celebrating for days and days and days, including the ritual of heading out to a graveyard and lighting lots of candles and then all the adults spend time trying to con the children into thinking that they hear reindeer bells and Santa Claus. It's really one of the more charming places to spend Christmas if you ever get a chance to get over there.
So it's just like eating spice bread and convincing kids that you're hearing voices.
In between snacking on, you know, a piece of pickled or smoked herring, which is, you know, as a nice Jewish boy from New York, any country that celebrates with smoked fish is quite delightful. I will say probably one of the more unusual things, and it, you know, I learned it in doing my show, is that oftentimes the stuff that's closest to home is the most surprising. So while you would think that the idea of like tossing raw fish salad in the air and eating dried fermented oysters with some sort of weird Gobi Desert fern the way they do in certain homes in China would be strange. Nothing was more unusual to me, simply because I'd never experienced it before, than celebrating Christmas with the White Earth Band of Ojibwe in northern Minnesota, where they actually traditionally shoot a porcupine out of a tree. In the old days, not with a gun, now with a gun. And they pick the quills, which are used for decorative arts, which you have to do very, very carefully. Then they clean the animal, stuff it with potatoes and carrots and turnips, and roast it forever until it falls apart. There's not a lot of meat on a porcupine, even though they get very, very big. It's just
a
very
know?
Bony. Yeah, exactly.
Who the hell would know?
And then you and
how
then
does
you
it
have
taste,
to,
though, Andrew?
Porcupine is like a
chicken.
Cross between. Between – no. You know you're eating something funky with that stuff. That whole chicken thing it drives me crazy because everything does have its unique flavor. It's very deep and gamey. It's almost a little greasy like raccoon or bear. And it has sort of a pungent flavor as it goes over the – you know, through the palate. The key to game and not having it taste too raunchy, I've learned in a lot of countries, is trimming most of the fat off the outside of the animal before you cook it. The problem there is then you end up with something that's dry. So you have to sort of use a cooking style that helps put some moisture back in.
And that's why you carry that ketchup bottle in your back pocket, right?
Oh, no, never. You don't want to interfere with the flavor. It's you have a Hall's, you know, a mentholiptus kind of thing in case you run into something extremely funky that you need to get the flavor out of your mouth.
Well, Andrew, you've given us plenty to think about this morning. It's been a great pleasure having you. Thank you.
Well, it's great. Merry Christmas to everyone. And remember, it doesn't matter what you celebrate or when you celebrate it, as long as you do it with food.
Andrew Zimmern is a food writer and the host of Bizarre Foods on the Travel Channel. Porcupine?
Stuffed
are you going to be eating that today, John?
Well, no, I'm not having porcupine today, and I couldn't get it. They were sold out at my market. We're going back to your childhood and talking about your dreams, wishes, and desires on the holidays. Think back. Is there one wish you had as a child that never came true or one that did?
Hi there. My name is Steven Zellin, and I'm the singing CPA. When I was a kid, what I really wanted for the holidays was an autographed baseball card from my favorite New York Yankee, Don Mattingly. And you know what? My dad actually was able to get Don Mattingly to sign a baseball card. So I was able to get what I wanted for the holidays.
What's your story at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org? Here's your takeaway.
By March 1, I think we should be able to make some judgments about how good a job the Obama administration is doing. I don't think that means the economy is going to feel any better by March 1.
Waiting for March 1. That's David Leonard. I'm John Hockenberry.
I'm Adora Udoji.
Hey, what do you say we both be independent together, huh?
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.